going on, everybody? It's Jeff Grammer with the Albuquerque Journal, and this is the Talking Grammar Podcast. We're on episode 84 now of this podcast. Glad you're here. Glad you're watching, listening. Whichever you're doing, I'm glad we're talking Lobo hoops again, and the Mountain West tournament is over. And it's been 10 years since they've been in the NCAA tournament, but they are indeed, as I record this on March 18th, they are indeed preparing for the NCAA tournament. And it's been a long time coming for a lot of Lobo fans and for the program in general. They, of course, won the Mountain West tournament 4 games, became the first team ever to win 4 games in 4 days last week in Las Vegas, and punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. And before I get into a little bit more of that and what today's episode is about, I want to make sure to send a shout out to TLC Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical for presenting this episode of the Talking Grammar Podcast. It's people like them that are helping us get you not only this content, but just all the content we're trying to bring you about college basketball, high school sports, all the sports content we're bringing you, not only the Albuquerque Journal, but the Albuquerque Journal Podcast Network. So much appreciation to TLC Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical for being a part of this podcast. The Lobos, as I said, won first team ever to win 4 games in 4 days last week at the Mountain West Tournament. Jalen House just put on a show, and it was fun. It was fun to watch. The Mountain West had a historic year. It was the best year in the it's the 25th anniversary of the Mountain West Conference, and this was the best in the 25-year history, and they get 6 teams in the NCAA tournament. That said, the overriding reaction of Mountain West fans across the country, across the West, is disappointment. Not only did they get 6 teams in, which they had never done before, that's more than the ACC, more than the Pac-12, more than the Big East, but the selection committee seated them in a way that looked disrespectful in a historic year. Had never gotten more than 5 teams in, and they had only done that once. So 1 year of 5 teams in the tournament, and then all of a sudden they're getting 6 teams in this year, and yet there's still a kind of a residual sort of feeling of just disappointment, like disrespect. So the UNM Lobos, based on their seeding by the NCAA selection committee, would not have even been in the tournament had they not won those 4 games in 4 days. Colorado State, which thought they were an 8 seed, maybe a 9 seed, they slipped down to the 10 seed as a play-in game, and they wouldn't have been in had one other team maybe snuck in and passed them. They were the last at-large team in. Boise State had hopes of maybe as high as a 7 seed, probably an 8 seed. They slipped down to 10, and they're playing in the play-in game on Wednesday. So Nevada, which also had a very good resume, is the other 10 seed. They're not in the play-in round, at least, but they are a 10 seed. Utah State wins a league with 6 NCAA tournament teams. They win the league outright, and they're an 8 seed. And then San Diego State, good non-conference for San Diego State, and they had a history last year, obviously, of making it to the national title game. They are a 5 seed. But overall, the Mountain West, a little frustrated with their seeding. What I do in this episode is I joined Rob Dowster and Jeff Goodman earlier today for their show, the Field of 68, their YouTube channel, The Field of 68, which is great, by the way. You should subscribe to some great college basketball content, and they do such great work every single day during the NCAA tournament. You're going to enjoy it over the next few weeks if you subscribe to their YouTube channel and all their social media channels. But I joined them on their weekly Mountain West Insider podcast. We're going to double up on that. We did this at the beginning of the season once. We're doing it again today, where me joining them on that podcast, I'm just going to kind of repurpose it and run it here. And what we do is we preview all the Mountain West teams in the NCAA tournament and their first-round opponents. So I guess without further ado, I do hope you join us in the Albuquerque Journal and our coverage of the NCAA tournament. And I know last week our high school crew, James Yotis and crew, just absolutely hit it out of the park with all their state basketball tournament coverage. We got some good help with photographer Mike Sandoval at the NCAA tournament, I mean at the Mountain West tournament rather, and Ken Sickinger and I were both out there, and I'm glad that you guys seem to enjoy it. I know the numbers were great. Thousands of Albuquerque and thousands of UNM Lobo fans were out in Las Vegas again, and it was a party, and obviously the interest is there. So I appreciate it. Again, you could help support all our coverage help support local journalism by subscribing to the Albuquerque Journal, print or digital, or both, and that's at abqjournal.com/subscribe, where you can get information on how you can support local journalism and subscribe to the Albuquerque Journal. So, without further ado, let's get to this episode of the Talking Grammar Podcast, which is an NCAA tournament preview for the 6 Mountain West teams that are in the Big Dance.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mountain West Insider Podcast, and we have a lot to get to today because we have a bracket, ladies and gentlemen. The tournament is here, and there are 6 Mountain West teams that are going to be playing in the tournament, although the seedings of these 6 teams are not exactly what we expected coming in. I'll roll through it real quick. We have San Diego State is a 5 seed in the East. They will be playing UAB. Mountain West champion Utah State is an 8 seed in the Midwest. They are going to be playing TCU. New Mexico, who won the Mountain West tournament, is an 11 seed in the West. They are going to get Clemson in the first round of the tournament. Boise State is in a playing game, playing Colorado in the South. Colorado State is in a playing game, playing Virginia in the Midwest. And Nevada is a 10 seed playing Dayton, also in the West. We could end up with a New Mexico-Nevada Sweet 16 matchup out West, if it all works out. Jeff Goodman, I am loaded up with Jeffs on today's show. Grammar, I'm going to go to you first on this one. First reaction, seeing the bracket and seeing where some of these teams are seated.
Kind of mixed reactions, I think, if you're the Mountain West, right? They're hashtag work. They're 6-bid Mountain West, most the league has ever gotten. In fact, they've only gotten 5 one other time. So mostly this is a league that's gotten between 1 bid, an auto bid, and 4 bids for 25 years. And this is the 25th anniversary. So on the one hand, look, they got 6 in. It's hard to deny that that's a great season when only 2 conferences have more bids than you, and you outdo the Pac-12, you outdo the ACC, you outdo the Big East. So there's that. And they don't want to take away from that. Like that's historic for this league. Then you see Boise State was the first one that rolled around as a 10 seed, and you're starting to think, wow, did Colorado State not even make it? What's going on if Boise State, who thought they were going to get as good as a 7, comes in as a 10? The seeding is really a mixed message kind of thing, because a lot of the other seeds from power conferences, frankly, you look at an Iowa State and where they were seeded, and the explanation given for it was, they didn't seem to care about their non-conference. They said that they got so many quad one wins within their conference, but look how many quad one wins they got. But when it came to the Mountain West seeding, the chair basically said, well, a lot of those quad ones wins they got were just against each other. But that's what good conferences do. If you have a system in place that is built on, like it or not, and there's going to be revamping of the net to do, we know that. And I'm sure that'll get into that a little bit. But if the system in place is to build up your net as best you can in whatever way you can in the formula given, and then you beat up on each other, I don't think you just then kind of disregard the beating up of each other because they're all quad one games. And it was really weird to me that, you look at a New Mexico, that they were called the bid stealer. And they won 4 games in 4 days. They finished their season winning 4 in a row, including
they
4
they were a bid stealer. At the end, they were. Yep. We didn't know it, but they really were.
And for them to be a bid stealer when they entered that tournament, the Mountain West tournament, thinking they needed one more good win. We know what the Air Force loss did. It knocked them out on the outside looking in. But, Richard Pitino and the whole team thought, one good win and we're in. Let's get 2 to be safe. Well, they got 3 of them and still wouldn't have been in had they not. So a little confusing based on all the numbers the committee says they go by. The Mountain West did what they were supposed to do to get 5-6 teams in comfortably. And they didn't get them in comfortably, but they did get them in. So, like I said, kind of a mixed message sort of day for the Mountain West.
Goodman?
Yeah, I think Jeff put it well. I think Jeff put it well because we were all, pissed off, right? I know I was seeing the different, Boise especially, right? I mean, really, both Boise and Colorado State getting the play-in pissed me off. As much as the seedings being off, I just feel like both of them getting a play-in was wrong. That's wrong to do. You want to hit one of them with a play-in, that's fine. But not both. Boise didn't deserve a play-in, in my opinion. But they struggled in the non-conference. So I'm with you, Grammer. Like, I'm happy they got six, but I wish Boise hadn't gotten the play-in. I would have felt better.
Yeah,
I was going to throw in one other. I was going to throw in one other quick thing. I think Nevada's resume overall. I know they lost last week because they had an injured Hunter McIntosh, who's become a really key part. I thought Nevada's resume was really good too. So I don't know.
They're in a 10.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Dayton has a resume of a 10. Nevada has a resume of a 7, and they play each other in the first round. So, you know,
yeah,
could have been worse. Could have gotten a worse draw. I'm with you guys on the playing game stuff. I will just say with all of those bid stealers, you have North Carolina State, you have Duquesne, you have Oregon, and you have UAB, who are all on like the 11 and 12 line, and they would not normally be on the 11 or 12 line in a normal bracket. That's normally where Boise State would be. So getting all that, it's a weird bracket this year with all the bid thieves. So I do sympathize with the committee a little bit there, but Boise State was definitely too low. Let's kind of go through these matchups real quick in the first round. We got Boise State and Colorado. That is brutal for Boise State, Jeff. Jeff Goodman. Colorado is one of the more talented teams in college basketball. That's a really, really difficult playing game matchup. I can see Colorado getting all the way to the Sweet 16. That would not so shock me.
It's funny, too. I don't know how many people know this. I'm sure Grammer does. But Ty Boyle's like a part of that Mark Few kind of group, right? They're all tight. Leon, obviously, Fewey, Munson, Ted Boyle, all those guys. So this is a matchup amongst two really good friends here as well. And yeah, a brutal matchup for Leon. Like, again, you couldn't have been more screwed to me by the committee than Leon Rice. Like, you cannot be more screwed. You get the play-in and you play a Colorado team that, honestly, their top three players you could put up against just about anybody in the country. Really. I mean, think about it. Like, Cody Williams, when he's healthy, has been one of the top freshmen in the country. Obviously, you know, KJ Simpson's been, you know, probably one of the top 10 point guards in the country this year. And Tristan Da Silva is a man. Like, he just does everything. He's a versatile, you know, tough matchup for a forward. So, like, man, like, I cannot believe how Leon got hosed. And you could see it by his reaction. Like, you could see it last night. Like, oh, my God, what the hell just happened?
Yep.
I don't know if there's been a better reaction on that side of it, right? There's been some great reactions on Selection Sunday and a lot of celebration. But, man, that Boise State reaction was telling, man. It was good.
Yeah.
All right, Virginia, Colorado State. I actually think that's a pretty good matchup for Colorado State in this spot. I don't think Virginia's very good at all.
They're not. I think Isaiah Stevens. I mean, Isaiah Stevens. It didn't matter who the matchup didn't matter for Isaiah Stevens. He's an elite point guard. He was going to do good. I think though, if you're going up against a defense like that, having an Isaiah Stevens is it gives you every chance you need to take away what Virginia is, and Virginia is still defensive, not much else.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say in that one is Reese Beekman's probably one of the best defensive guards in the country. Now, I don't know if he could stay in front of Isaiah Stevens. Like, I still think, you know, even when I was there, when I was sitting next to Grammer for the New Mexico-Colorado State game, I was just looking over at him. I'm like, some of the plays that dude makes. Like, to do it justice, you have to see him in person because it's like a video game sometimes. So, as good as Beekman is, and he's elite defensively, I don't know if he could stay in front of Isaiah Stevens.
And this to me is one of those games that Isaiah Stevens, you know, look, he can put up 20 in a game. I just think if he sets everybody up as well as he can set everybody up, I think this is one of those games that Isaiah Stevens can look like that classic point guard and really just lead them with about 7 or 8 points, probably all at the free throw line, and, you know, a good 6 or 7 assists somehow, because, you know, assists are hard to come by against that defense. And I do think that Isaiah Stevens isn't going to get shut out in the assist column.
Yeah, and the way to beat Virginia is to be able to – they want you to try to shoot tough jump shots, right? And when they play those, like, hard hedge on ball screens, they make you the point guard dribble around. Isaiah Stevens is one of the best in the country at picking out shooters on the weak side of the floor. So I like that match for Colorado State. If we get a Max Asemus, Isaiah Stevens, first-round matchup, I would not be complaining about seeing those two go head-to-head. Let's start next with San Diego State against UAB, because if San Diego State wins and gets to the Sweet 16, they'll get a chance to play UConn again, most likely. What do you like here, Grammer? UAB to me feels like a team that's going to try to do the same stuff as San Diego State does, and I don't think that you can beat San Diego State at San Diego State's game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think San Diego State is a team that, even though they made it to the Mountain West Championship, and certainly once you get there, you want to win it. They weren't looking at this past week as their season, you know. They've been looking at this for a little while. So, I think Lamont Butler, people can say he had a disappointing year because so much was expected out of, you know, a shot or two that he hit last year, one being an all-timer. I just think that Lamont Butler is actually playing really, really well right now. I think that Jaden Ledee has, if he worked himself out in any way of All-America kind of conversation or being a top 15 to 20-ish player at worst, I think he worked his way back into that. And there's too much firepower for San Diego State, and they are playing pretty good defense again. I think San Diego State's a team that was been building for this for a little while, and I kind of actually like their draw a little bit to maybe get back to the second weekend.
Goodman?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think San Diego State ends up playing UConn in the Sweet 16. I really do. I like both matchups for them. UAB, you know, got in an AAC that was honestly mediocre, and we saw Florida Atlantic fall by the wayside at the end of the tournament. You know, and then you look at it, what do they get? Auburn next? Probably.
Auburn or Yale?
Right. I mean, those are two good matchups because, you know, the one thing I think I worry about with San Diego State, like, their guards. Their guards aren't like imposing. But Auburn's guards, you know, Rob and I went down there and saw them a few weeks ago in person. And it's like, all right, those dudes can't really get by anybody. They don't. So I actually really like the matchup there. I think San Diego State gets back to the Sweet 16. I really do.
Yeah, I'm with you there as well. I think that they got a pretty good draw, and one thing that we've seen them be able to do is win in tournament settings. I want to go to New Mexico yet ne next because I think that this New Mexico Clemson game is one of the most interesting ones in the first round. To me, it's Grammer, the Clemson backcourt, Joe Girard and Chase Hunter. I don't know how well they'll deal with some of the ball pressure that you get out of a guy like a Jalen House, right? But I don't know how well New Mexico is going to do with a dude that's built like a 6'9" superhero in PJ Hall, who's a fifth-year senior. What do you see here?
I would say that the PJ Hall part of it is they actually did pretty well against the bigs in the Mountain West this year with Jaden Ledee, you know, different. I get it, but like they did okay with bigs. They do have a freshman in JT Toppin who is a very good defensive freshman. I do think Nelly Jr. Joseph has kind of quietly probably been maybe the best center. There's not a whole lot of real centers in the Mountain West, but he might have quietly become maybe the better or the best center in the league towards the end there. And I think those two guys actually defensively might be able to at least slow enough out of PJ that out of PJ Hall that I think the guards, if the guards do anything like they did this past week, and that includes a healthy Donovan Dent, he was sick for the championship game. I can tell you guys a story about Donovan that was he was legitimately sick. And when the locker rooms open up afterwards, you know, and media goes into the locker rooms after a championship game in these tournament settings, he had nowhere to go to be sick. So he's walking around the stadium at Thomas and Mack Center, around the corner, more people. By the time the celebrations were over and the arena was actually the emptiest part, he walked from the locker room and was looking for a place, went out to the arena and off to the side and found a trash can. He is in the arena throwing up while everybody's in the media room doing
Nice.
their post-game celebrations. They did that against San Diego State without Donovan Dent, basically. He played 12 minutes, but if assuming he's better, I think Donovan Dent kind of it has in his mind, yeah, I like these teammates. He gets along fine with Jalen House. He gets along fine with Jamal Mashburn Jr. But he wants to remind people, like, wait a minute, like this was supposed to be my stage a little bit. And I think Donovan Dent is going to have a great game.
If he does, they'll be in good shape because
Yeah.
I don't think they can slow down PJ Hall. I really don't. I don't think
I don't think so.
Nelly has any shot. And I think a freshman in JT Toppin, no matter how good he's been this year defensively, he's going to struggle. I mean, the only thing PJ Hall hasn't done is make clutch free throws down the stretch. And that will scare me if it's a close game because he's missed a lot of big ones down the stretch. But, you know, they got veteran guard too, and Joe Girard. this is going to be as good of a first round matchup as there is in the NCAA tournament. There's a lot of them you look at and you're like, I don't know. I don't really give the up. And they'll be upsets because there always are. This is one that on paper, you look at it and you're like, throw the seedings out the window. This is like a 50-50 matchup. I do think if Donovan Dent plays well, listen, if New Mexico's guards play like they should, they got three dudes that not a lot of people can match up with. And then, JT was terrible when I saw him, but he's been so good this year. If New Mexico can play firing on all cylinders, they're actually the better team.
The
Yeah,
favorite. I agree. I agree with that. I agree with that. And here's the biggest thing is that I don't you're right about the whole PJ Hall, JT Toppin matchup. I don't know if Clemson can deal with New Mexico's guards. Like, I think it's vice versa. I think New Mexico has the better guards and they are really good defensively. Let's go to the other team that's going to be in the West region. We have Dayton and Nevada. I also really like this matchup for Nevada, Jeff. Jeff Goodman. We'll go to Goodman first on this one.
Go to Grammar first. I want to hear him first.
Well, I think it comes down to whether or not Hunter McIntosh, as crazy as it sounds for people that might look at a stat sheet and see this guy didn't even start most of the season. I think, he hit 6 for 6, I think it was, in their win at Boise State. If they add another guard that can kind of create problems, I think Nevada's really good. Jared Lucas, though, he's a guy that I think people are going to kind of be reintroduced to in this tournament that is very good. And Keenan Blackshear creates all kinds of problems as a huge point guard. So I just think the guards of Nevada are really good. Nick Davidson obviously came on late, but I think the guard play at Nevada and Hunter McIntosh kind of spreading, opening things up with his outside shot is a real key to this. I just don't know. He didn't even make the trip to Las Vegas for the tournament. They only played one game, so didn't really matter that much, but he didn't even travel like he was gonna play. So I don't know. I think it kind of comes down a little bit to whether or not his health is okay.
It's funny you say that. I was literally just on a doing a episode of the DTF podcast with Fanta and T.O. and their answer about whether who's going to win that game was, well, T.O. was like, well, it depends on whether or not Hunter McIntosh plays. And I was like, what? Hunter McIntosh? But yeah, Goodman, his last four games before the UNLV game, 18 points at San Jose State, 14 points at Colorado State, 12 points at home against Fresno, and then 26 on 9 for 11 shooting and 6 for 6 from three at Boise State. So he's shooting it like a young Rob Doster right now. Dayton, any chance? What do you got? You like him?
I think this is this is your typical 7-10 matchup, right? I mean, Dayton's done a great job. They lost their starting point guard right before the start of the season, Malachi Smith. Anthony Grant's done a tremendous job kind of filling that hole. I don't know. Honestly, I don't have a great feel for this one. This is one of those that you kind of look at and you're like, it's a toss-up game. It's a toss-up game. I probably need to do a little more research.
Well, I'll tell you this with Dayton, I think a lot of it they're in a similar situation where Javon Bennett's been banged up and has missed some time recently. So his health kind of determines it the same way that Hunter McIntosh's health kind of determines it. I like Nevada in this spot. I feel like we're picking a lot of Mountain West teams here, but I really like Nevada in this
I'm
spot.
pulling for the Mountain West team. That's the crazy part. Okay, we've been on the league the whole year, right? We've been on the league. We've said how much fun it is. I'm also a huge fan of the commissioner, by the way. I think she's my favorite commissioner in all of sports. I really do. I believe that. Like, she's fun. She's younger. You can have fun with her. You can, she's
She gets
more.
it.
Yeah, she's just, I don't know. It's not like talking to a commissioner. That's what I would say. Like, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, it's like talking to a commissioner. For her, I feel like I'm talking to like a coach or something. 'Cause she did. She played at UMass. We had fun on the pod last week. Was that it? It was only last week. That's crazy. So we've been rooting for this league all year. So I just find myself, especially now, where they don't have great seeds, and most of them are gonna be underdogs for the most part. I would love to see like three of the six somehow make it to the second weekend. That would be a blast for me. And kind of an I told you so as well, because I've been out there saying like these teams are good enough because the gap isn't what it used to be. While again, there's some great teams out there, I don't think the gap between some of these teams is nearly as significant. And while I'm picking a lot of, not chalk, but a lot of the favorites to go to the Final Four, like I still don't feel good about it.
Right.
Yep. Last one, first round, Utah State, TCU, Mountain West champion Grammer going up against a TCU team that a lot of people thought would end up closer to the bubble than they did. You think Danny Sprinkle is going to be a little bit angry about this?
Yeah, I do. There's I feel bad a little bit too, kind of covering this league as long as I have, seeing this season be as good as it was, and seeing an outright champion and still sort of kind of being in a position where I sort of doubt them a little bit. I don't know if Utah State is going to be able to beat TCU. I will tell you this, at every turn, every time I doubted TCU and I picked them ninth in the preseason, I mean Utah State, and I picked them ninth in the preseason, they stepped up and won the game they were supposed to. They did enough that they were supposed to. I don't know that they looked very good in the tournament this past week. They went to overtime with Fresno State. I don't know if I wouldn't say that they're out of gas necessarily, but I think maybe the magic's run out a little bit. And like I said, every time I thought that, you know, all they did was go outright win a conference that got six teams into this tournament. So, I'm siding with T. I think TCU is going to be a little too much for him here. But Gray Osabar is so much. He's so much more skilled than I think you just look at him and say, okay, he's one of those centers. He's a big guy. He looks out of shape. He's going to be one of those lumbering centers. The guy is a very skilled big man
Yes,
and just doesn't look the
yes.
part. And they can play outside in and I or inside out. And I just think that they are a very underrated team, but I do think it probably is going to be tough to overcome a good Big 12 team right now.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of TCU, but I feel like Danny Sprinkle's gotten everything he could out of this team. And I wonder if, like Grammer said, I wonder if they're a little bit out of gas here. And I don't know. I mean, again, listen, I'm pulling for Utah State more than probably any other team. Just because, again, being out there, go from, you know, Montana State and be this good at Utah State and win the regular season title, it's one of the best stories in college basketball. I didn't know Danny Sprinkle super, super well. Like, I knew him. He reminded me. We met like 20 years ago at a prep school event that I ran. I'm not going to lie, I forgot. But Sprinkle to me is a rising star. At 47 years old, to call somebody a rising star sounds bananas. But he's done that good of a job, and being around him for those couple days that I was out there, he just blew me away. Because again, I think he's got that special gift that not a lot of coaches have, the Bill Self, Tom Izzos of the world, that can put their arm around a guy after completely MFing him. And there aren't many like that anymore.
Yep. Two things to note in this matchup. One is that TCU is very good at forcing turnovers, so I think a lot of pressure is going to be on Darius Brown to not throw the ball all over the gym and be able to actually get them into Utah State to be able to run offense. And two, Utah State doesn't really have much in the way of rim protection. And TCU is a team that is going to put the ball on the floor and try to get to the bucket, try to get to the offensive glass, try to score in the lane and score in the paint. More than 55% of their scoring comes from 2-point field goal range. So that is something that you're going to have to keep an eye on. If Utah State can kind of control the paint and win that battle, they'll have a very good chance to win. If not, then TCU is going to find a way to win that game. All right, last thing we're going to do before we get out of here, you got to pick one Mountain West team that's at least one. But you got to give me the one that you feel the most comfortable about being in the tournament still when we talk again next Monday, heading into the second
So easy.
weekend. Goodman.
So easy. So easy.
Not, but you can't say San Diego State.
All right. Well, you didn't say
You
that.
can't say San
Oh,
Diego
I didn't
State.
say
I
that.
changed it. I changed it. You can't say San Diego State.
All right. So they got to win two, or in Boise and Colorado State's
Got to
case,
win
you have to
three.
win three. Boy.
Man. I don't
Man.
see Utah State, if they get by TCU, getting by Purdue.
Yeah, that's tough. That is a tough one.
Here's what I'll go
Hey,
with.
congratulations on winning the Mountain West, one of the most entertaining conferences in America. If you could beat this team from the Big 12, you get to go up against Zach Edey, the
Right.
two-time National Player of the Year. Congratulations.
I'm going to go Nevada. You know why? Because I think they can beat Dayton. Like I said, I think it's a toss-up game. And then my alma mater under Tommy Lloyd has not exactly killed it the last couple of years in the tournament. So I will say Nevada. How about that?
Ooh,
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like your thinking that it's going to be one of those two. You know, if by chance New Mexico and Nevada play in the Sweet 16, I can't tell you how Albuquerque will break. New Mexico's never been to a Sweet 16. They've played in the round of 16 before the tournament ever expanded, and they've never been in the Sweet 16, and that's all they talk about in Lobo basketball. Alford was the guy that was supposed to get into the Sweet 16, and then he left. A lot of broken hearts here, and if they face Steve Alford in the Sweet 16, yeah, I
Do
just
they
I'm
hate
telling
him?
you,
Do they hate him?
not everybody, but the general in this situation, they would, yes, there would be a lot of that guy. Yes, they would hate him this week and next week.
That game, by the way, you know where it would get played? Los Angeles,
That's right.
where he left New Mexico for UCLA. I think a lot of people, how far is that Albuquerque to LA? It can't be that far.
Probably about 10, 12 hours, I'm thinking, to 10,
Doster
12
has no
hours
feel.
left.
He has no idea. He thinks, like, honestly, he thinks New Mexico is like 2 hours from LA.
Well, it's two
Phoenix is
states
like an
away. It must
hour
be
and a
12.
half. Like,
Well,
yeah,
why
he has
did,
no idea.
where, no, that is absolutely, I wanted to know if it was drivable. I wanted to
Yeah.
know.
For New Mexicans, it would be if it
Yeah.
was in, it could be in Boston and New Mexicans would drive to that one.
12 hours for me? No chance. Zero.
So who are you going with? You got to pick one, Grammer.
Yeah, if I got to pick one, you know what? Oh man, I don't like their matchups. I really like the way Boise's been playing. You know what? I don't want to sound like a homer.
You picked New
I think
Mexico State? They're not even in the tournament, Grammer. Come on.
New Mexico State Aggies have a no. You know what? I think Leon and Boise State got so screwed that maybe I'm trying to see who their second round is.
That
Man.
was so for the record, this is my pick.
Yeah, Boise is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going with Boise.
Gonna be pissed off.
Yep.
Yeah, you know
Well,
what? I
part of the
really
reason I'm going with Boise is because I thought that you were going to take New Mexico. So if you're going to take Boise, then I'll go with New Mexico. But I think, like, look, Boise can beat Colorado. I'm not, Colorado's got talent. They haven't done anything all this year that has me that impressed. Florida just lost their starting center to the broken
I
leg, which
like
was.
that one.
Yeah. And then Marquette, look, your Boise State is a really tough team, and we don't know what Tyler Kolek's actual status is. Like, we know what they're telling us. We know what we hear. I
You
know
know
what
what his
Shaka said at
status
the Big
is?
East tournament.
By the way, I was just on with David Chow. Do you know who David Chow is?
The sports, the pro football doc or whatever his name
He
is.
had
Yeah.
me on his pod. He broke down all of the injury, what he thought of Hunter Dickinson, McCullough, Kolek. It was actually pretty interesting. I told him to send me the clips, and he felt like Kolek would be close to 100%.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree, and I think that's why they held him out. But I don't know. You just don't know. And I think Boise State is tough and physical enough that they could win that game even with the healthy Kolek. I like New Mexico too, though.
I'm going Boise
I like
State.
every team in the Mountain West.
Me
Who are
too.
we kidding? We're gonna have six in the second weekend,
I'm
right?
rooting for them all. I gotta say, I catch myself rooting for them all because, frankly, I want to do the podcast again next year. I want to get out to some other venues next year that I didn't get out to. I mean, I usually Viejas. I can't believe I haven't been out there in a couple of years because, frankly, I want to get the hell out of Boston. Every winter and get to Viejas because, but this year, man, Grammar, like I gotta say, my trip going out there, and I told the commissioner this, I told Gloria this, but like that trip was as good a trip as I've had in years going to Logan and Albuquerque. It wasn't just because I saw you,
Oh, well, never mind then.
but that definitely added to it. I mean, sitting next to you
You
and
did it.
soaking up the knowledge that I did for that game, like
You got the
honestly.
attorney, Rudy, sitting a couple rows
Yes,
behind me
he
who
was
will help you with the
nuts.
parking ticket while also knowing every referee in the country's name and reminding them how horrible they are. You got Snake down the way painting up his face.
It
Snake
was a
got
good
married
night.
this year, guys. His wife paints his face for him.
Great
It's.
name, great game too at the end. I mean,
Yeah,
it's.
that wasn't one of the best pick games this year though. Like overall it was kind of a
That's what
sluggish
I
kind
told
of.
people. That's what I
Yeah.
said. They were like, well, how great was the atmosphere? I'm like, It was good. It wasn't a 10. It was not a 10. But again, it was a late night weekday game. But man, the end of that game, like, I'm not sure I'm going to get a better minute of basketball, right? You and I, have you seen a better minute of basketball back and forth shot making than we saw that night?
Man, well, Nevada, New Mexico, and Reno kind of did it. So I've had a couple that New Mexico was a part of, but it was a no, that was as good as it was. And for Donovan Dent to finish it the way he did was pretty spectacular. All right,
So we.
I am gonna go Boise State. I'm gonna avoid the just for the record, I'll avoid the homer pick, but I'll tell you what, Jalen House put this team on his back this past week,
Yeah, he did.
and his dad, I interviewed his dad, and I didn't even get out my full question with Eddie House after in the celebration. I said, "Hey, Jalen's been under your shadow a lot." And he stopped me right there, said, "He's not under anybody's shadow. His name is Jalen motherfucking House." And
Did you see
he
the video of him? By the way, it was my favorite clip from Championship Week. Did you see the video of him?
fantastic. That who is that?
Yes.
My
That's
man,
my
Ed
mother
Lawson's
effing
son.
son. That's my mother effing boy. I'm just like, yes, Eddie,
I attached
fired
that
up.
video to a Rick Pitino tweet when Rick Pitino was saying how proud he was of Richard. I said, these dads are exactly the same. Eddie House and Rick Pitino, just proud of their sons.
Listen, this has been fun. Grammar, it's always good to see you. Goodman, it's never good to see you. This was the Mountain West Insider Podcast. And, if all goes well, we will have another one previewing, hopefully, at least one, maybe more, maybe two, maybe three, maybe all six. Six Sweet 16 Mountain West. Is that what the new hashtag is going to end up being? Well, either way, no matter what happens, we'll be back again next week with the Mountain West Insider Podcast, breaking down everything that you need to know about this league and the NCAA tournament. For Jeff Grammer, for Jeff Goodman, my name is Rob Doster, and we'll be back next week.
All right, well, there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. That was a fun podcast I did with Jeff Goodman and Rob Doster with Field of 68. So they have a really good product for college basketball fans. And hopefully you enjoyed that. Hopefully you enjoy all the content they're putting out. Hopefully you enjoy all the podcasts we're putting out. Let me know what you think. GGrammar@abqjournal.com is how you can get me on email. I'm always on social media, X in particular, at Jeff Grammer. And just let me know what you think. Let my bosses know what you think. Let everybody at the Journal know what you think about these podcasts. We got a lot of them starting to roll out. A lot of them in their infancy, still kind of feeling their way through some things. And but this is definitely a new product that the Albuquerque Journal Podcast Network is trying to bring to you guys. Not only the video format, which I know a lot of you guys enjoy, but there's an awful lot of you that still go on a walk, a jog, a workout where you got the earbuds in and you just want to listen to it. So however you're consuming these podcasts, it's much appreciated. And I do want to thank you for that. Again, abqjournal.com/subscribe is how you can support local journalism, subscribe to the Journal podcast or digitally or in print. And then I also want to send a shout out one last time to TLC Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical for presenting this episode of the Talking Grammar podcast. Hope you guys enjoy March Madness. Hope you guys enjoy the NCAA tournament. And until next time, thanks for watching.